I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
So we hadn't kissed, we hadn't done like anything at all, except like secretly hold hands. Just sitting gay through this fucking pain. So gay. And then the
Gentleman Jack foreplay. Yeah, yes, I'm saying absolutely. Like this is a period lesbian piece gay.
Yeah.
In that way, yeah.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about.
Ducking out, ducking out, ducking out, ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Diking Out, the JoJo Siwa haircut of podcasts. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
Hey, I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're diking out with actor and comedian AB James.
Hi.
Hi, AB.
Hey.
Hey, AB. AB's here.
Hey.
From AB the start.
AB is here for this yeah. part. Why is that? Oh, I think we have a new format, Melody.
Yeah, we're going to switch things up, you know.
Because we're queer, and that's queer culture, is mm-hmm. to experiment. And why not do it 232 episodes into the podcast? I mean, yes. This podcast has had a bunch of changes. We're fluid.
Yes.
Evolution, baby. Can't stay still.
Yes. No way. That. We're going to be left behind with the heteros if we do that. Yeah. So we need to continue evolving. We do not want to turn into a pile of dust. So let us know your thoughts, maybe, I don't know, other announcements. The new format, no more topics. We are feeling like a little bit restricted by our topics each week. We love them. They served a great purpose. But sometimes we want to talk about multiple things because our guests contain multitudes. Yes. Right, AB?
Hell yeah. Just so.
We yes. have plenty of talking points that we can't just couch under one topic. You know, like we need no boundaries.
Absolutely.
Here at Dyking Out, we are against boundaries.
No.
You've heard it here first. Melody's breaking news. We are now anti-boundaries.
You know, this is also my adult ADHD, and I begged for this change. So hopefully everyone's cool with it. I don't want to do topics anymore. Let's just chat. Let's chat.
Melody has been pushing to remove topics for a while. I was being a stubborn old and was like, no, that's our thing. And she wore me down. I saw the brilliance of removing the topics. Let's do it. Also, join our Patreon where you'll get all sorts of juicy goss. And that is at patreon.com/dykingout. We have a Discord if you subscribe at the $10 a month level and above. We have our next show at Stonewall April 25th. But Melody, you can talk about that because I'm not going to be there. So I don't care.
Yeah, Carolyn's out of town. She doesn't give a fuck. We're going to be having the show still. I'm hosting it with my lover, Allie. Allie Clayton will be in the house. We've got some fun comics. Walter Kelly, Lindsay Bowling, Blair Dawson, and Alex Kuman. You just... wait and see who is the non-queer on the lineup. It'll be fun. It's like a game. Come hang out. Yes. It'll be fun.
We give everybody one egg and you throw them at who you think the straight comic is. We should really do that. I think we should incorporate
like
that.
Like an Easter egg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We need to go into it. Some things are changing. Some things are not. AB, we want to know, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Okay. The gayest thing I've did this week, I'm still doing it. It doesn't sound gay right away. So you got to hear me out. Just like strap in for the ride really quick.
Yes.
Okay.
We know how to strap. Yep.
Yeah. I trust you guys. It's not your first rodeo. So the gays I have done or am doing this week is I currently am dog sitting for my therapist. And I know, so many layers to this onion. So the reason it's so gay is not only for the fact that my therapist is like incredibly gay, like to paint you a picture, she's like, oh, she has like an identical voice to Shane, but like the essence of Bette. Okay. Yeah. The identical voice thing, very tricky. It's a slippery slope. But the way I know her is very weird because she is my high school therapist stepsister, as well as her wife was my educational tutor in college.
Okay. I thought you were going to say the stepsister as well as her wife.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's more of a turn than I was letting you on to be. But now my partner is their dog walker / caretaker. So it's just like, you know, like that very like incestuous lesbian like web that I've woven. Yeah. So that's been it's been a wild ride.
That's impressive.
See where she lives, you know?
is that where you are right now?
Not only is this where I am right now,
like
this
therapy.
Is where I have therapy.
Yeah,
this is her office.
Yeah, it feels from the limited corner of this room I can see, it looks like a therapist's either office or lobby, home, space.
Yes, it's definitely, it's everything you would imagine a therapist house to be. Like, it's just this like very warm, calm vibe, no shoes, everything's so clean. I love it here. I never want to leave. I get to be here for 2 weeks. So it'll be.
Wow.
Yeah. Very, very excited for that.
I famously know nothing about my therapist. And today was actually a very revealing session because she was trying to illustrate a point and needed props to keep all the different players apart. So at first it was like a pen and then a rubber band ball, but then she needed more objects. So started picking up these things off her desk. And that's like the most information I have about my therapist. Like, I know nothing else, but now I know that she does have like a crystal penguin on her desk, and my mind is blown. I would have never thought that was on her desk.
Wow. And thank God you opened your marriage and got some more people, figurines maybe in the mix, and you got to see
why
that.
Do you think it was automatically about that?
I have a strong feeling.
I also have a lot of cousins.
You know, it all starts with figurines, and then the next thing you know, you're living in her guest room, and it only takes 10 years and you'll be where I am, I promise. More than
cradling
figurines.
Her dog's shit in the palm of your hand.
Literally.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. I love it. It's so great. But yeah. It feels very gay. I just am wow, this is such an unorthodox dynamic. And it is just because we are so gay. My therapist said that herself. So you can confirm that.
Count it.
But that's me.
Great.
What about you guys?
Thanks for asking.
Oh my God, my pleasure.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's always a twofer. It's always a gay location I've been. And this past week, I went to Jolene's in San Francisco. I was out in San Francisco visiting friends and doing shows. And I did go to Jolene's until it closed down, you know? So just closing out the lesbian bar, doing shots, tipping go-go dancers, dancing in the boob room.
Yes.
Having all the fun there. And then
tell me about the boob room.
The boob room is the dance room, and it's the chest room. And it's all different kind of chest, but mostly boobs, just plastered in black and white, all over the walls. And that's where you go to dance. And then when you go to the bathroom, that's the butt room. Where it's all butts.
That's fun.
So that's great. Yeah. I like it. You know, great drinks. It was a good crowd, a little bit on the younger side, but like very diverse, good energy, some fun characters, and that was fun. The other gay thing that happened this week was we were driving into the city yesterday, and there was like this BMW next to us, and Cecilia goes, "I think it's Che Diaz." I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "No, I definitely think that's Sada Ramirez." And she's like, drive next to them. Drive next to them. We have to see. Like, you need to look and see." So I'm like trying like through the traffic, getting to the Lincoln Tunnel, getting next to this BMW. And it's definitely just a dude. It's just like a well-dressed dude in a nice car. And it is not Sada Ramirez. But the fact that I was like, "Oh, yeah, immediately I must navigate and like dodge all these cars to catch up to this in case what would I have done?"
I have to share a fact I just recently found out about Sarah Ramirez, which is, you know, the Vanessa Carlton song, 1,000 Miles.
Oh, yeah.
Making my way downtown. Okay. There is a theory with some evidence that makes people think that song is about Sarah Ramirez.
I just got full body chills. I'm laughing at my body's reaction. Wow.
They went to Juilliard together at the same time. That was my reaction as well when I found out. And I was just like holding it in. Like, nobody else cares but me. So it's like really nice to know I can share it.
Wow. My God. And everyone, all the straights are all just in Starbucks listening to that song for the last, you know, two decades, having no idea.
Yeah, it's our song.
It's ours.
We will need to ask about that. Yeah. We're going to, we should get Vanessa on.
Yeah. All she said was, it was an interview in which she said it was somebody she went to Juilliard with, and it's somebody famous, so she didn't want to say. And then I saw a TikTok, obviously, that was narrowing down who it could be. And
this sounded like a TikTok investigation. Yeah.
Of course it was.
Thank you.
I was like, I don't know how you got. Yeah, please. Yeah, I'll send it to you guys. Don't worry about it.
Awesome. But,
yeah.
Amazing. There's also a third gayest thing, but I'm going to talk about that on the Patreon. So you have to sign up. But your girl got on the apps, and I'll talk about that on the Patreon. Anyway, Melody, what was your gayest thing?
I'm still reeling from this trip to Austin. I was in Austin for the last week. I will keep most of my gay rage there. I'm not going to try and shift the entire energy of this episode because I'm very angry. We were talking about therapy. I'm still actually trying to find a new therapist, but tomorrow I'm going to be doing a gay version of therapy too. I'm joining my queer non-binary friend who was in Austin with me. We were basically there for our friend's wedding. We were treated horribly. This is someone I thought was my best friend for over a decade who really did us dirty. Things got homophobic. Things got a little racist. Like, it was just unbelievable how just the queer, we were, me, my girlfriend, and Ever were the only queer people there. And the way we were treated was like abhorrent. So I'm joining Ever in their therapy session tomorrow. Like, they already had to devote their entire therapy 2 days ago to that. They had to schedule a second session and their therapist suggested I join so that
amazing
you can help us write a long gay letter. I still managed to have fun. While I wasn't on the ranch in Dripping Springs, Texas, I did get to hang out in Austin outside of the wedding. I got a DM from a listener telling me about a WLW meetup in Austin that meets different like queer adjacent bars. And there was one at Cheer Up Charlie's on Sunday. I was already planning on going there last Thursday. I went to a drag show because, did I not talk about this on this very podcast, that this friend made us go to the Broken Spoke, a verified homophobic racist establishment. Racist, yeah. I have video footage of this friend being like, well, thank God y'all came with me here. Can you believe I would have sent my wedding guests, everyone over who traveled over there? Tell me why you scheduled it still as an event in the lead up to your wedding. Obviously, Ever, Allie, and I did not feel comfortable going there. Instead, we went to Cheer Up Charlie's, a queer bar owned by a lesbian couple. I had no idea it was lesbian owned. We complimented someone's shoes and we got to talking, and that's how we learned we were talking to the owner of the bar, and we got to talking about Lesbian Bar Project. Ever brought it up. I was like, do you know the Lesbian Bar Project? And she was like, yeah. And it was just like, sorry, no shade. I've been trying to get in touch with them. I was like, oh, they're my friends. I'll text them right now. And like within a couple days, Cheer Up Charlie's in Austin, Texas is now added to the list of Lesbian Bar Projects bars that they're trying to save.
Yeah.
They're,
they're
just
the
announced. I know. We'll have had, when this comes out, a lesbian specific event, which is something I don't think happens anywhere. Ever and I got drunk after that drag show Thursday night and went all around Austin asking where are the lesbians. And everyone told us to go back to Cheer Up Charlie's. It feels good to have experienced, you know, so much disrespect, homophobia, just hate from like all weekend, to then go back and learn that I feel like I kind of had a little hand in the queer scene there and like brought actual change. So at least there's that.
Wow.
We're going to record our Patreon episode tomorrow. That's where I'll funnel all the rage, get into all the specifics of how, you know, wildly disrespected we were. It was, I don't know how to talk about it. Oh, and listen, if you're listening, do better, and I don't know, reach out. Like, she only listens to this when she thinks she's mentioned, and like, I don't know. It's weird. She's dead to me.
The look on AB's face, not realizing that she was going to witness the fallout of.
So literally one of my best friends since like 2009, 10, like, and Ever, like, we're done. We're writing with Ever's therapist tomorrow a goodbye. Like, you just need to know how evil.
Send it before the app comes out.
Yeah.
So honor to see it coming.
There's that little rainbow. there's a lesbian night now at Cheer Up Charlie's, and they're now an official Lesbian Bar Project bar. You're welcome. I was like, I need to be as gay as possible while I'm here, because she's trying to hide me. So,
I'm sorry. I'm sweating.
I've got upper lip sweat just from even
the rage. Yeah.
Yeah.
AB, since you're in the therapist office, do you have any advice for Melody? I feel like you're the de facto therapist while your Thayer's out of town.
Thank you. I just think I would like to say, I think it's beautiful for you to look at the positivity of the situation. And although your friend couldn't provide you what you needed, you provided something else who needed for someone else who needed something, and that you should be proud of yourself, because this world, we cannot rely on others to give us our happiness, but we can give happiness to others. And that should be what is fulfilling.
I don't know. Cause we are meeting right now for the first time. I don't know if this is like you or the effect of the environment, but that was so on point, so beautiful. Thank you so much. It made me feel better. I'm calming down.
Yeah. Hey, if you ever need that, you can give me a call. I'm happy to do it. I did 10 years of therapy, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Not now, but for the first 5 years. So, you know, I got a lot of it under my belt. Yeah. Yeah. I like to say I dropped out of college and then I went to like University of Therapy, major self-reflection. So that's where I put in my hours.
I was going to say that sounds like grad school. Yeah. 2 hours a day, five. That's more than the time
that's
I spent
credits.
In classes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh. Of course. Yeah. I love it.
You do not have to answer this, but was there like an inciting incident, or was it just like you needed to catch up? Like you hadn't been to therapy.
Oh, like why I started therapy like so much? That's
just like an intense course of therapy.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I'm very happy to talk about it. I, since I was 15, have struggled with mental health for a very, very long time. And so it's just like big ups and downs. And I just had like a huge breakdown when I first moved here, because I was like away from family. I actually moved here to be with my partner. And so like, it was just relying too much on that toxic relationship. Yeah. Isn't it great? I don't regret it anything for the world. I think I would have moved here regardless, but I think just being away was just too hard. So I came back and then to LA, and then I came back here and I started seeing my therapist. And so that's why I saw her so much, and like dropped out of school and then just hung out with her, which is also why we're so close. Cause she was like, she told me the other day, she's like, I've never seen a client as much as I see you. Like I see you more than I see my wife. And I was like, same here. So I love it. Therapy's so important. Amazing. I very much encourage everyone to do therapy.
So, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Our sponsor would love that message.
Yeah.
BetterHelp.com/DL.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Abby, some more about you. I would say what's going on with you, but you know, you're basking in the glow of being on Hulu's How I Met Your Father, which I was so pumped to see you on. I didn't know that you were going to be not only on it, but playing a love interest of one of our favorite humans, Tian Tran.
Yes.
Mine too.
I screamed when I saw it. I was like, I could not love this reveal more. It's so cute, and it's set up for you to come back in a season two.
Yeah. You know, ended in a cliffhanger. I moved right across the hall, so they can't get rid of me that easy.
Nice. Right?
Yeah. So I'm really pumped that season two got 20 episodes. So I'm really hoping that they show more of that. Frankly, I just hope they show more of Tian, because she's so fucking good. Like, it's one of those things where people don't get to see how many takes we do of things. Every take she does is just so different, yet so funny. And I just want her to have more so bad. So I feel so lucky to get to be like the catalyst of that. Cause you know, people are so excited for the idea of, you know, Ellen finding love.
Right.
I am too, but yeah.
20 episodes. I feel like that's so rare nowadays, but I will say I enjoyed the first season, but it did feel like when it was over, I was like, that was it. Because I know in like How I Met Your Mother, it would be stretched out over a longer episode order and you'd have a lot more. Yeah. And this has like the same kind of feel of How I Met Your Mother, but obviously like more like relevant and obviously more queer, which is great.
Yeah.
And so fun. Oh man.
Yeah. It's very exciting. What's really cool about it is like, there's so many people from on How I Met Your Father that worked on How I Met Your Mother. Like I know like the second AD did, the director is the same director. Like it's, and they very intentionally want to like, you know, allude to the show, but not make it seem like it's a spinoff, which I really love about that too. But it's, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's a fun nod with like the sets being the, some of the, a couple of the sets are the same. There's a cameo at the end. And then having, even though you don't get to shoot with Kim Cattrall, but that's awesome that Kim Cattrall plays.
To bring her up. I was so mother. Excited to see her.
I know. Tian told me all about it.
Especially after all the, like, I'm not doing this show, like, and just like that, you would think, you know, she's not, and then bam, she's on a show.
Yeah. It feels like it's a show that a lot, like Chris Lowell, when I found out Chris Lowell was on the show, I was like, oh, you're so great. Like an idea of you on a sitcom or Hilary Duff is like, or Tian, it's crazy, but they,
yeah.
It's because they believe in the show so much, which is like, oh, that's so cool. Like, yeah, even Kim Cattrall is like excited about being a part of it. Or even Laura Bell Bundy. And, you know, like that idea is like these people are just excited to be on it, which is like so cool to be a part of. But yeah, no, I didn't get to meet her. I wasn't there that day. But everyone said she was so nice, like the nicest. And I was like, I just still want to know what happened to SJP, you know?
AB, were you a Lizzie McGuire fan?
Oh my gosh.
I was going to ask.
Of course. Great. And you have no idea how fucking crazy it is to work with her because I have to like hang out with her. And first off, we hung out a lot, like sitting, exchanging pictures of our chugs. Like, I had a migraine. And so she like went and got me a Coca-Cola for my migraine. Like, she is the sweetest. I had to just sit there and pretend like I haven't watched her like Architectural Digest video 6 times in a row because I'm such a big fan. Oh my God, the backsplash of her kitchen. Yes, she's
so good.
But I love Lizzie McGuire. I mean, iconic. Like she's iconic. So yeah, it's really crazy. Or Josh Peck. That was also a really weird one where it was like, I watched you all the time as a kid. Or Leighton Meester. It is just a crazy group of people. But yes, Lizzie McGuire all the way. Huge fan. Everyone's getting really mad about the show though, about How I Met Your Father. We actually don't get a lot of negative comments, which I think is pretty great. But the one of the only ones we get are people are mad that she like didn't do the Lizzie McGuire reboot. But she chose because that got dropped.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, if that's the biggest complaint, then you guys are doing great. Yeah. I thought it was going to be that Tian's character's name is Ellen.
I know.
People are going to be like, boo.
When I auditioned,
she's reclaiming it.
Yeah. I was like, they make one joke at the end of this season, but I was like, oh my God, that needed to be up top because that's what everyone knew the moment she walked in the room. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I got the sides to audition, her name was Ellen in it. And I was just like, I was imagining just an ultimate dyke. Like I was like, that must be it. It's fucking Ellen. And so when I found out it was T and I was like, oh, that's refreshing. But I was like, well, you can't do the name Ellen. Everyone has an association with that. But yeah, we're reclaiming it, I guess.
I bet it was somebody who wanted to reclaim it for their friend. Like they have a friend that's like, why? I hate being named Ellen. And they're like, don't worry, babe. I got you. We're going to make Ellen cool again. And that's how, by making her a lettuce farmer. So
yeah, exactly.
So gay.
So gay. I'm excited to see more of that element of it too. Cause I'm like, I know that she left her lettuce farm technically, but she also said she still works on it. So I'm like, how? What does that mean?
Getting lettuce residuals.
Yeah, exactly.
So have people been reaching out to you? I know you mentioned that there are some ghosts from your past that have resurfaced since being on this show. Talk about it.
Oh yeah. There's been so many people, which all to me is like quite surprising given that I think that my character isn't that big in it. So I was like really surprised by how many people just reach out.
There are no small parts, AB. No small parts.
Yeah. And I'm no small actor. So like, there's been a lot of, you know, like those comedians who you're friends with, but they're also like very competitive and you know, they talk shit behind your back. I've gotten a lot of those. I've gotten a lot of high school bullies, which I was just like,
just name him Andy Eigenthorpe. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Andy's like the nicest person in the world. I'm
also, Andy did not congratulate me, which was fine and crazy, but we used to run a show together. We were like, we're very good friends.
He's probably starstruck now. He's probably just starstruck.
Yeah, it probably.
I mean, he loves pop culture. So you're, he is probably nervous now to approach you.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I mean, it's been a funny experience for sure. I feel like a lot of bitter people coming at me and I'm like, this is so interesting. If this is something therapeutic for you or what's going on here, have been nice people too, just in case there's somebody listening who did reach out. I'm very grateful that you reached out, but, it's a weird time. It was something I was talking about with Tian. Cause I was like, oh man, like for you, is it like you two have like high school bullies coming your way? And she was like, no, not really. Like that like wasn't my issue at all. And I was like, you're a comedian. Who hurt you? Like what's happening here? Like that's not normal. That can't be okay. Somebody had to bully you, but no, she didn't.
Universally loved.
Yeah. Universally loved. And you know, can't blame that. She's perfectly unproblematic in the best way.
She really is.
But
talk about the YouTube of it all, though.
My YouTube of it all?
Your YouTube. Yeah.
Oh, that, man. That people are rediscovering. That's who's been reaching out. I'm so sorry. I blocked it out of my head.
Haters first, YouTube second.
Yes. YouTube second. And so in high school, I was a heavy Tumblr user as well as I did vlogs, LGBT vlogs of me at age 14 giving advice.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's called Thursdabies because they were on Thursday. And it was in a collab, so it was like other people in it, but I did every Thursday. And we had what was a big following back then. It was like a couple thousand, but like it didn't feel that big. I've never felt it was that big until now, where people have been reaching out and are like, oh my God, it's Thursdaby. Like, I know you from your vlogs or I know you from your Tumblr. And I'm not really embarrassed about it because like, I know that in the end, my videos were actually very helpful to some people. Like someone reached out and was like, you were like my only access to like queer content that I could relate to and like things like that. So like they're still up. I won't take them down, but it is still at the same time, like remembering that I was a vlogger is a little cringy. Also like 14 and I'm like, here's dating advice. I'm like, what the fuck did I know? Nothing.
Do you check in on it and see the views going up and up or is it
no,
just?
No, I don't. I have friends who do because they love to make fun of it. But I, no, I'm like, I can't watch it. You know, I can't watch myself pretend like I know what I'm talking about with like Tegan and Sarah playing in the background. You know, it's just every like lesbian stereotype of like 2008 in one. That part has been weird. People reaching out for that has been weird. They've been commenting on my partner stuff as well about it, which I was like that. Oh, and I'm like, now more people are seeing it. I was like, please don't. But yeah, that's been good. I've also been getting a lot of Jewish viewers of the show reaching out and like talking about how excited they are to see like Jewish presence in a show, especially like queer Jewish stuff, which is like something I hadn't fully thought about, but I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is quite different, which has also been very positive. You know, I'm just like changing lives one way or another.
Yes.
Making that Shiva queer.
Yeah. Yes. Making it as gay as possible. Loved it. Those are mostly the people who've been reaching out, which has been just like, blast from the past for sure.
I feel like between that and Shiva Baby, half of queer Jewish content takes place at a Shiva.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
It's been a great year for gay Shiva. Mm-hmm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Abby, I'm dying to know, you teased out a pandemic quarantine love story, never told on the internet.
Never told. This is an exclusive that I will share with you. That is
now that we talked about how famous you are. Now we're getting the scoop.
Yeah, now it's the scoop. Great. Everybody's dying to know. It's been all the talk. Yeah, and it is a bit juicy. And I realize that some people may be portrayed in a negative light. So I will do my best to kind of more describe their actions as opposed to their character and let the listener come to their own conclusions about some people. But
we won't mention them by name, Sada Ramirez. Yeah.
Unlike I did right up top. I said, if you're listening, we'll bleep it.
Go for it. Yeah. No, because I like talked to my partner about, I was like, hey, I didn't really ask you. Is like this okay? And she was like, yeah, I just don't want to have to worry about any backlash if things get too personal, which I was like, okay. I mean, I'm still going to give you the juice. Don't worry about it. But yes, no names, whatever. A very brief background. So my partner, I'm still dating, Kira. She's a really lovely stand-up comedian herself. A few years ago, we met on a show. We instantly became best friends, like attached at the hip, like just so close. I was like currently casually dating someone. She was getting back into this relationship with this girl. So it just like wasn't any time for us to like connect then. However, for like the rest of like, it was like a year and a half, everybody, including my therapist, was like, why aren't you with Kira? Like, what's happening here? Like, this is so obvious. Everyone in the room can see it. And I was like, no, it's not. That's crazy. She's just my best friend. Like, that's the way it is. I would, you know, I just want to spend the rest of my life with her in a platonic way. It's normal. Right. So then fast forward to the pandemic, we're doing our first lockdown. I live alone. So I reached out to her and was like, hey, would you want to come stay with me? Because I just like, I don't want to be alone in the pandemic. And she was like, yeah, the whole thing is my ex. I just don't know how to leave her. But like the week before, Kira was planning on breaking up with her. And so she was like, I'm going to break up with her and then I'm going to come and stay with you. Like, let that be the turning point of she has her own space to live in. She can process the breakup by herself. And then, you know, Kira can come here. And I was like, yeah, sure. That sounds great. Then the night before she was like, I cannot do it. Like, I feel like I'm abandoning her in the midst of a pandemic. Like, this isn't working. I was like, fine. And let me also just say, as nicely as I can, this person is just not only not the right fit for Kira, but not the right fit for anybody in Kira's life, kind of butt heads with everybody in her life. Like just didn't, there wasn't a lot of positive things that she brought to the table.
We all have that ex.
Yeah. We all have that ex. But I was like, fine, just both come here. Just both moving here. And that's when I should have really known that I was in love with her. Cause I was like, I would rather live with her ex and then be not with her. So it was the three of us living together for 3 months.
This is so gay. Yeah. Amy, yeah. This is so gay, but also definitely sounds like something that I would have done in another lifetime. Like for sure.
Right. I just like, yeah.
Wanting someone so bad that you're inviting their ex that you don't like to move in just to spend more time
you
with them.
You were sprung.
Uh-huh. Wow. I was. And for me also, it was like, not just that. It was like, I didn't want Kira to have to be alone with her. Like that wouldn't be, that right. relationship caused Kira so much stress. And I was like, if you're alone with her, you are going to crumble. So I was like, that can't happen. And they don't live together. So it would also put, you know, Kira's roommates in an awkward position. So I was like, I'm your best friend. Put me in the awkward position. You know, they fought a lot and things like that. So it's like, if you guys fight, I'll just go to my room. It's fine. I said that not realizing how much Kira's ex would instigate fights. So I was like, ooh, this is a lot different than I realized.
You're just like peeing in jars in your room because you yes. can't come out.
I literally would store food in my room because I was like, I can't. Oh, and they would, and Kira would try to be like, oh, go into like, cause I had a second room, like go into the guest room. So like we can finish the conversation. And her ex would be like, no, we're going to have it right here in the living room. And I'd be like, I can't. Okay. Oh. So that was really hard. And I was talking to Kira about like, you know, it's just not healthy for her. And I was like worried about her. And she was like, you know what? Her ex was in the middle of getting her master's. She's a filmmaker and a very talented one at that. And an extra gay loop, her final film project is a documentary heavily featuring both Kira and I. So it's like a movie almost about us. And she was like, I can't break up with her knowing she hasn't finished editing her movie where she would have to see my face every day. She's having finals. She's stressed. I was like, wow. Okay, well, maybe after she finished editing the show, the documentary, break up with her. And she's like, yeah, okay, that's fair. And then that happened. And then it turned into, oh, I can't because I have to be there for graduation. And I was like, oh my God, it gets another month of it now being like, she has wanted to get rid of her from the beginning. And we are now on like month three. And then they got into one of their other fights that for me felt so incredibly toxic and to me, not fully safe that I was like, okay, this is it. Like it had to take something that extreme for me to be like, okay, I have to tell you I'm in love with you because I can't watch you do this. And which is what I said. And she was like, oh my God, I never thought this day would come. She's like, I've been in love with you the moment I met you. All of, you know, gushy, mushy.
I'm gonna cry.
Yeah.
This is a pandemic rom-com. This is yeah. me. Quintessential pandemic rom-com. Wow.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we talk about like possibly writing about it because it's like, yeah, it's just so also
you're
just
obligated
so gay. Yeah, we have to now. But just you wait. So she goes, oh no, something happened with her film and she has to like redo things right after I tell her how I feel. And I also... her ex was very good at explaining things that even to me, I was like, yeah, no, that makes sense. That we're going to just do, we are going to live on your timeline. And that makes sense. And so we waited like 4 or 5 days, didn't do anything. So we hadn't kissed. We hadn't done like anything at all, except like secretly hold hands, just sitting gay. Through this fucking pain. So gay. So gay. And then the
Gentleman Jack foreplay.
Yeah, yes, I'm saying absolutely. Like this is a period lesbian piece gay.
Yeah.
In that way. Yeah.
My therapist was like, was always like, you should be with Kira. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I can't risk losing this friendship. It means everything to me. Also, like that kind of, you know, that when Harry Met Sally idea where it's like, if you fall in love with your best friend, like that's it, you're going to marry them. And I was like, I'm like, this would be the person I'm with for the rest of my life. Like, no, let's be best friends for a while until I feel ready. but the reality was I was ready. But she said to me, like, when I finally told her, she was like, yes, that's amazing. And the next day I was like, well, you'll never guess, but we do have to hold off for a bit. And she was like, God damn it. You already did the slow burn. What are we doing here? And I was like, yeah, that's very true. Finding out that everyone in our life was like, yeah, we know. And we're like so excited about it because they were like, we've been waiting was very, very assuring. But we had to wait the 3 weeks and then she finally broke up with her. And I guess I won't go into this too much. I will say it was a 10-hour breakup in which for certain reasons she wanted to, and Kira ended up telling her why. And she still wanted to stay in my apartment.
That I don't get.
Me either. I will never know.
Oh, I get it. Exes are terrible. Of course she wants to stay around and cause trouble.
Yeah.
So painful for her.
Yeah. I was like, you literally want to, like, the whole idea was like the ex wanted Kira to leave and then for her to stay with me. And I was like, you want to live with the girl your girlfriend's in love with?
Is what? Editing all the footage not enough? Torture? Yeah.
Exactly. We still waited. We waited for everything to be done. We waited for all of it. And so it was like, that was the whole issue where she was like, now really? I have to go and recolor correct. Like there's something like that. It was like a technical issue.
Was it a documentary on sexual tension? Like what was this?
Really interesting documentary talking about like the lack of sex education for queer people. And really cool. I mean, listen, like there are a lot of positive things about her. And that's some might
that
see.
Was so hard for you to get out.
Spit it out.
I also just
so like, you threw so, up in your mouth a little bit and then you continued.
I actually did. It's just hard because it's like, I don't want to seem like an asshole and blast a person for like actions that also, you know, I know that the pandemic can cause a lot, although I don't think it was at all the pandemic that made her so much of the way she was. But right. I think that it's like, no matter what I feel towards her actions, like I don't feel like it's, if I was like you and like she was like my best friend and I was like, yeah, I'll fucking blast her because I'm fucking pissed and we can then talk about it. I was like, I don't want to ever talk to this person again and I don't want to give them any reason to talk to me, you know? That's why I feel like, but one day I'll give you the extremely unfiltered version. Very raw. Yeah,
please.
Falling in love with your best friend is the best.
I want to know everyone's sun sign, okay?
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you that. Kira is a Scorpio. The ex is a Leo. And I'm a Capricorn.
Spicy. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I knew you were a Capricorn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotta love a Cap.
It was too chaotic. They needed someone more grounded. There you come in. We love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This podcast is becoming a Capricorn propaganda podcast.
Right. Like, I know.
Honestly, it should because we get such bad rep. Like, I feel like everyone is like, oh my God, my sign, like everyone says something bad about my sign when I tell them. But I'm like, Capricorns, it's almost the worst because they're like, oh, you're boring and money hungry. And it's like, fuck off.
The way people's faces drop and their brows furrow when I say Capricorn sun, Virgo moon, Capricorn rising, it's like, get out. Like, I am
double cap. Wow, I love that.
Double boring.
No, I don't get it. I don't get why people think that about Capricorns. I feel like every time I talk about being a Capricorn, they're like, you're a Capricorn and a comedian? I don't see that.
Like, right. It's like, I've been arrested, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fun. Yeah. I was intoxicated in public, even.
Yeah. I'm a kooky character that... but yeah, so I think it's important to really like push the Capricorn, break those stereotypes.
Thank you.
We really need that. Earth signs in general, fucking, we know how to get it done. I'm like, you need an Earth sign around. So maybe not a Taurus, but the other three are great.
Yeah, my
I love Tauruses, but I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like, I think Tauruses are fine.
No, get it done. It can also be fun. That's all I'll say.
Yeah,
we get right. fun done.
I was in a conversation with a friend yesterday and catching up and like telling some story about something. And they're like, wow, you were really prepared. Wow, that's you were prepared from a young age. Oh, that was very responsible of you. I'm like, okay, yes, I get it. Capricorn.
Good plan is that's what eases anxiety, man. I always say that to people too.
But I didn't even think of it that way. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. I was like, no, it wasn't. It's like, of course, like she's like, oh, you even brought an umbrella. You looked at the forecast. I'm like, I always look at the forecast to see if I need to bring.
How
this
do
New York,
you leave
what?
The house How's not doing thing? That?
Right?
That makes me so mad. And to me, also,
bunch of wet air signs.
When people don't read the directions of things and then something goes wrong. Like Kira the other day, like we got a new electric tea kettler and she's like, why are you reading the directions to this? And I'm like, how do you know how to steep your tea? You're just going to throw it in there and fuck it up? No. Same with humidifiers. I'm like, you got to know how to clean them. They get dirty. Right? So I feel you. I don't like when information is right there for people and then they don't use it. It's something I've learned about dating Kira, where she's just like comfortable being uncomfortable. Like if it's raining and she has nothing, she goes, okay, and just will be in water and like whatever. And I'm like, what? I would just be like, I could have prepared.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
That era, the Y2K, the bell bottoms dragging, like that soggy ass flared jean. I'm still so upset that I had to even feel a little like sand, water on my heels. Like, fuck that. And it's, I can't believe it's back, but we'll see how many Capricorn Gen Z kids get into this trend because it's very unpleasant.
So many are going to do it. So many. I hope Janko jeans comes back.
Oh yeah, I think it is actually.
Like, if we're gonna have to do this,
I'm seeing some of that and like the UFO pants and all of that. But they are low rise. What I'm seeing, and that I won't do again either.
No.
I just have like an impassioned argument about this. I was like, we have a choice, okay? we don't have to do this again.
Right. When we found the high waist, it was when we were like, oh, or found it again, because obviously it was in the world before. It was like, oh, this is the way things should be. It's comfortable. I can bend down and not worry about my butt crack showing. I don't need low-rise jeans are for Jessica Biel's in that vampire movie only. I don't want to see it anywhere else. Anyway, so I feel you. Very passionate about it.
Just don't stop making the high-rise jeans, you know?
Yeah.
Just keep those options open. We'll be fine. We'll get through this. We'll be okay. What else?
Yeah. I love the way this has, like, jumped. We've just, like, bobbed and weaved into different directions I would have never expected. Yes.
I know. I'm like, is this cool? We're trying to figure this out.
Well, that's the freedom of the new format. Yeah.
This is ADHD. Like, this is it. Like,
this is
you know?
I think this is why it works for Melody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't
it
stay
works
on
for
topic
me too, for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes, no, we would be, to be frank, with like past interviews, we ran into an issue where I think the guest would also be ADHD. And like,
yes.
So two out of three of the people are trying to stay on topic. And then Carolyn would feel like she would have to rein us in. But then we'd be like talking in a cyclical way, like circling the drain on a topic that we're not talking about anymore because some ADD people steered it elsewhere.
I know. I'd be like, speaking of the circus, how do we get that back to parasocial relationships? Yeah. Like, or whatever.
And that's a good point. Yeah, your transitions.
Internalized homophobia.
You did amazing transition work over the last couple of years.
Yes.
That didn't go unnoticed.
Yeah.
For a cis person, I'm great with transitions. So dumb. Okay.
Okay.
Well, Speaking of transitions, another thing that you mentioned, which, you know, we really haven't given it the respect it's due, is a girl trash all night long, which I Thank saw you. That was actually one of my last pre-pandemic hangs. It was like right when we're like, should we be quarantining? We should kind of be quarantining. But our neighbors at the time, our gaybers, we'd recently hung out with them. So we're like, we think it's safe to still hang out with you. And we've been talking about doing this movie night to watch Girl Trash. So that was my timeline, was March 2020 was when I finally saw it, even though I was a Spashly South of Nowhere fan. I'd seen the clips of Girl Trash, just like the hot makeout clip.
It was
on
one
YouTube.
Of the first things we talked about, because around that time you asked me to start like guest co-hosting while you looked for a new person, and you asked me if I had seen it, and I was like, yeah, just like clips on like our chart, I don't know, like YouTube clips. And then you went and watched it, and then everything shut down. I still haven't seen it in full. Are you obsessed?
Am I obsessed?
Yeah.
Maybe make the case for Melody.
I've seen it about 12 times, and I will tell you why. It is a compilation of every B-list character from like the L Word mixed with like South of Nowhere. Also, really cool things like cool to me, super small cameos. Like in the beginning, the person who's essentially Shane is sleeping with this woman. That woman is the girl from Loving Annabelle. Did you ever see that? That lesbian love movie?
No, I definitely know what Loving Annabelle is. I never watched the. That was another YouTube highlights one for me, because I've heard it's bad.
It's
so bad.
Don't need to see it. Also, because the teacher she falls in love with is not attractive, so it's like you can't really get into it. But still,
I think that was it for me. I think that was my hang up. I was like, not my kind of teacher hot.
Oh my God. There is this one. There's this other one called Bloomington or something. I'm going to have to figure it out. It's Kira's favorite movie. And it's essentially the same dynamic, but both of the girls are quite hot, although they kind of look alike. So for me, out of it, but for, I could still understand. There, it's a very weird, like, mommy, like baby dynamic, where there's this one, like, sex scene where she's giving her a sponge bath. Like, it's very sexual. Very weird. But also what I love. So there's cool things like small cameos from like random
Easter eggs. Yeah.
Stuff. Easter eggs. Yes. But also that the fucking leads are straight, which is so funny to me. The woman who wrote the music who plays one of the main girls is straight.
Ricky?
Yeah, the one with the ponytail was in the bang.
The blonde? Yeah.
But
she does a lot of stuff with a Katie Musi.
She looks like a cater waiter in the clips. They dressed her. And then, but they're like, oh, but you know what we'll do to make it look good? Leather gloves. And then she just wears like fingerless leather gloves the entire time. And I love that.
Oh, my God.
But I have so many elements of this to tell you. But I also love that I don't love that it's problematic. There's a lot of like insensitive things, and those are the parts that are quite unsettling. But the fact that
everything
like,
with Rose Rollins.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
They did her dirty. They did Rose dirty.
That also, that fucking rap in the car where they're like, yeah, I'm going to go shoot them up. And it was just like, it sounded like a fifth grader wrote the song. But it's so good. I have a fun fact for you that it didn't start at the movie. There was a web series of Girl Trash.
Yes.
But it's an entirely different storyline in which they are the girl who plays like that Shane character, like has a gambling addiction, which they kind of bring into the movie, but they're like really in trouble. And her love interest is whatchamacallit, the blonde woman from Garfunkel and Oates. Do you know her?
Oh, that's her, the one I was, Ricky. And it starts with an L, her last, the blonde one?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, not her. So you saw the webisodes or the...
Not the movie. Yeah, the web series.
Oh, so
okay,
did you
so
see
you
that?
Saw the web series. Mm-hmm. I saw the movie. Ricky Lindholm.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So did you see that crazy, weird scene between Splashly when they're tied up in chairs and all of a sudden they start fucking?
Yeah.
And you're like, how did they get out of the chairs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought we watched a clip of that on YouTube together in your apartment, Carolyn. I don't know. But...
probably. I love bringing that up.
Yeah.
Also, sorry. I'm going to side note again. Did you ever see the web series of South of Nowhere that finishes the story of their lives?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No. I'm really glad you're there with me on this. Like, I'm not alone.
I was like, no, like, especially I need to know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What a time.
Also, did you know the woman who played Ashley is married to the guy friend, the creepy guy friend in it, who just like fucking watches and shit. Not, you know, the weird one who like dates her in the beginning and then she's like, no, I'm going to date Spencer.
Wait, I'm looking at.
He's the sperm donor for the baby in the webisode series. They're married. They're married and have a kid.
Okay.
Or kids.
Yeah.
That's my fun fact.
But, man, like you were, I know when this came out, like I was aware of it and I was like just starting to realize I was queer in high school and like looking around, poking around online. But I feel like you're definitely younger. You're making your YouTube videos at 14 and you're watching these like very niche lesbian web series. You were so plugged in.
Listen, as a Capricorn, I did my research. You know, yeah. I was like, A Shot at Love with Tequila was a big one for me.
Oh, same.
Dani Campbell, I still follow her, check up on her till this day. 2008, she won most eligible like single lesbian in like Fort Lauderdale or something. So she's doing well. Don't worry about
it. I feel
her.
Like there's like an army of Danny stans who follow up, like just never, they held on and never let go after Shot at Love.
I mean, you can't be on a like major network, cable network like that and have that haircut and expect to like live it down.
At that
like,
time.
At that time, there was nothing.
Yeah,
like
for
that.
Sure.
She's so brave, a true pioneer. Her and Kim Stoltz from Cycle 5 of America's Next Top Model.
Okay, Kim Stoltz has agreed to dyke out with us. It's a matter of scheduling. So I'm very excited about that because Kim Stoltz was one for me that I was like, who is this lesbian on TV? And that was like my entry point into becoming an America's Next Top Model fan.
Oh my God, me as well. So pivotal. Humped a pillow after watching her in a bikini. So that is, very. I always make the joke. I was like, man, if I ever met her, I would not be able to look her in the eye knowing what I did as a child.
Oh, man. That was when we met Kate and Leisha for sure. Yeah. it was very difficult to look them in the eye after things I did when I had that season 4 on my iPod.
Oh my gosh, what a throwback.
That's so funny. Oh my god. Okay, a couple more things that we need to talk about as we wrap up here. You had a podcast with another podcast queer darling, Garalawning.
Yes,
called Queer York City.
Yes.
And how chaotic was making that podcast? Because I was on an episode.
Ooh.
I was like, congrats to these queers for doing the work, because it was a great concept, but to record on location at places, to tell everybody what the podcast was, and it exists and you can still listen to it, and it's a lot of fun.
The podcast Queer York City, it's all about finding queer spaces, places, and things in New York City. And so, majority of our stuff would be on location. So we did like an episode where we did like the queer speed cruising. And so like we like did like the mini date things with everybody and got people there. We did something at the Woods, and you just like doing the live footage stuff is a lot because you just have to record for hours to try to get people to give you like some good sound bites because, you know, they're not like mentally right. prepared for an interview or anything. And then we come in, do our own interviews. Sometimes we'll bring a guest that we met and like have them looped in. The one that we did with you was the first and only time we ever did it, which we tried to do a live show. And yes. that went Ooh. Not as expected.
right.
It was a very good learning lesson. We decided to go back to our usual format for a bit. Currently during, once the pandemic started, we kind of put things on hiatus, and I guessed that there were other creative passions that Gara felt like they needed to explore more. And so I allowed them to go do that while, you know, kind of trying to hold down fort. But it feels like at this point it's, you know, up to me to, you know, bring it back. And so I really want to do that.
Oh, cool.
I am really passionate about the podcast, and we did so much great work together that I'm excited to bring it back. You know, Gara's always open and welcome to join again, but you know, our baby's been put to rest for a little too long. And so I'm going to get it back up on its feet. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So. And another thing you have going on is Hype Dykes. Let's talk about Hype Dykes.
So Hype Dykes was what, thank you. Hype Dykes is what Kira and I decided to do when she moved in with also the ex. Because originally we wanted to start a show called Hype Dykes. We were planning to do it. And then obviously we were planning to do it at the Woods actually, but then it, you know, with the pandemic, it kind of dissolved. And so we're like, you know what, let's make memes to try to like, you know, keep it going. So then when we can do shows, we can start promoting, we'll have followers, yada, yada. So yeah, we just make memes. That was like how we spent all of our time. I currently back then didn't have a job, and nor did Kira. So it was literally all we did. And it blew up, and it's been super fun and exciting to do. And we're hoping to start a comedy show with that. Soon.
Amazing. And you have merch, right? Hype Dykes
merch? Yes, we have merch. Ooh. We're relaunching our stuff at the end of April. So like for Pride is going to be, we'll have it out before Pride is the goal.
All right. Well, we're nearing the end of this interview, and we used to do a listener question, and we're going to move that portion of the pod to Instagram. Wow. Isn't that fun?
Listen, it is going to be fun because instead of getting, we get a lot of questions we're unqualified, frankly, to answer too. So we couldn't give our advice to the best of our knowledge, put it on our stories, and then open a question bubble and have everyone else weigh in too. And it'll be interactive. You'll get different types of advice, different perspectives. I think it'll be good. To wrap up, what are your hopes and dreams for the queer community?
It doesn't fully apply to what you're saying, but I really wish that it was just like universally clear that wearing slip-on sandals with socks is a queer thing. I get very mad when I see straight people do it.
Yes.
And I was telling this to my sister, and she was like, that's not a thing. She also was like flannels also aren't like just for lesbians, like let it go. But I feel like if we could take something, I would just hope it could be that.
Well, where can people follow you on Instagram, and also follow Hype Dykes?
You can follow me personally, A.B. James, A.B.Y.J.A.M.E.S. And then, on Instagram, it's Hype Dykes, exactly how you'd think it would be spelled.
Amazing. And people can watch How I Met Your Father on Hulu.
Yes, they can. And Disney Plus.
Oh, and nice. Disney Plus. Yes. Yeah. Great.
Love it.
You can follow us at Dyking Out everywhere. And you can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
And you can follow me at Melody Kamali.
AB, thank you so much for dyking out with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
See you next Tuesday.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times best-selling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sharon Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.